Two college students with a dangerous secret, Lily Calloway and Lauren Hale, have perfected the art of deception. To the outside world, they're the golden couple. She, the shy heiress to the fizzle beverage empire. He, the charismatic son of a baby product mogul. But their picture-perfect relationship hides devastating truths. Lily battles an overwhelming sex addiction that sends her seeking anonymous hookups, while Lo drowns himself in bourbon to numb his pain. For 3 years, they've maintained an elaborate charade, using their relationship as cover for their self-destruction. Their arrangement is both lifeline and poison. They protect each other's secrets while enabling the very behaviors destroying them. What happens when a relationship built on mutual deception faces the ultimate test, the possibility of genuine love beneath the dysfunction? "We're experts at hiding," Lily reflects during a family luncheon. When Rose mentions Lily's latest secret encounter, Lo smoothly redirects while squeezing Lily's hand under the table, a gesture both reassuring and restraining. Their synchronized performance reveals years of protecting each other's secrets. Their arrangement is meticulous. Lo plays the protective boyfriend, deflecting family questions with practiced charm. Lily manages Lo's alcoholism, knowing when to intervene at functions and which excuses work for his absences. Since high school, their friendship has morphed into a complex codependency. The tragedy lies in how their arrangement fuels their addictions. Lo drinks with abandon, secure that Lily will manage the aftermath. Lily pursues dangerous encounters, confident Lo will provide alibis and protection. Their relationship, though founded on genuine affection, has become a framework for mutual destruction. Is protecting someone from their addiction, while claiming to love them, actually betrayal? Addiction isn't about pleasure, it's about need. This becomes clear through Lily's struggles. Her compulsion for sex isn't enjoyment, but satisfying an overwhelming urge. When deprived, she experiences physical symptoms, trembling hands, racing heart, cold sweats, and fixation on her next encounter. "It's like being thirsty," she explains to Lo, "except water doesn't help. Nothing helps except sex has become merely medicine she needs to function." Lo's alcoholism follows a similar pattern. He drinks not for enjoyment, but to numb childhood trauma from his emotionally abusive father. "I started drinking at 11. I thought it would make my dad love me more if I was like him." Their addictions are devastating because they've normalized them. Lily doesn't recognize her problem until Rose confronts her. "You've chosen sex over family functions hundreds of times. You've missed work, lied to friends, put yourself in danger. You're addicted." The novel portrays addiction honestly, showing how it distorts perception, warps relationships, and creates denial. Recovery begins only when they recognize their compulsions as symptoms requiring treatment. Lily and Lo's relationship defies simple categorization. Childhood friends turned adult enablers who present as a couple while maintaining emotional distance, yet harbor something deeper beneath. Their connection predates their addictions. At 12, Lily gave Lo an arrowhead necklace in Ireland, a symbol he still wears, highlighting the authentic foundation beneath their current dysfunction. As their relationship evolves, boundaries shift. Moments of unspoken attraction create tension, testing carefully maintained limits. A significant teenage encounter led to emotional withdrawal, establishing a pattern where friendship took priority over deeper feelings. A turning point arrives when Lo suggests, "Let me try to be enough for you." This reveals long-suppressed emotions and questions whether their connection could become healing rather than destructive. Their subsequent emotional intimacy marks a departure from Lily's previous experiences. Now, they must confront whether they're good for each other or merely familiar comforts. Can two people struggling with addiction build something healthy together, or will they pull each other deeper into self-destruction? Behind every addiction lies a complex web of relationships and trauma. The Calloway sisters, Rose, Poppy, Lily, and teenage Daisy, inhabit a privileged but emotionally barren household. Their beauty queen mother obsesses over status, pushing 15-year-old Daisy into provocative modeling, while their father's love manifests only through bank transfers. "Sometimes I wonder if you're even alive," Poppy tells Lily, capturing the profound disconnect between once inseparable sisters. Rose, initially controlling and emotionally frigid, reveals unexpected depths when discovering Lily's addiction, offering support rather than judgment, their shared trauma manifesting as Rose's rigid control versus Lily's complete surrender of it. Lowe's family proves even more toxic. His father, Jonathan, a CEO and high-functioning alcoholic, embodies conditional love, alternating between effusive affection and devastating manipulation. His gift of expensive scotch perfectly encapsulates this, thoughtful yet cruel, showing intimate knowledge of Lowe's preferences while disregarding his alcoholism. Lowe's discovery that Reich is his half-brother, born from his father's affair with a teenage intern, shatters his fragile identity. Both families represent American privilege. Their wealth enables addiction by providing means to sustain destructive behaviors and power to hide scandals. The closed system of mutual destruction begins to crack when outsiders enter Lily and Lowe's carefully guarded world. Connor, cobalt brilliant and analytical, initially appears as Lily's economics tutor, but quickly becomes a trusted confidant who sees through their charade immediately. Reich Meadows enters more forcefully, bluntly confronting Lowe's alcoholism. His persistence stems from witnessing his own father's addiction and understanding its devastating ripple effects. The breaking point comes when Lily is assaulted in a club bathroom while Lowe lies unconscious from drinking. Reich's intervention saves her, but he insists she tell Lowe, forcing them to confront how their addictions endanger each other. Their expanding support network becomes essential for recovery. Rose offers therapist contacts, Connor applies his wealth to hire a specialized nurse for Lowe's detox, and Reich provides the tough love Lowe needs to maintain sobriety. This coordinated intervention demonstrates that breaking addiction cycle requires multiple forms of support to shatter the self-deception sustaining destructive patterns. The novel's most poignant moment occurs on a snowy sidewalk outside the Drake, where Lily and Lowe face their first meaningful separation. Lowe chooses rehab over his father's financial support and Lily's familiar presence. "This isn't goodbye," Lowe tells her. "It's just separation." He makes her promise to wait, not from therapist advice, but knowing it's the only way she'll fight her addiction. Their intertwined fingers acknowledge this parting as their first truly healthy decision as a couple, recognizing they need to heal individually before healing together. The separation forces Lily to confront her addiction without Lowe's enabling presence. Rose provides structure without enabling, while Lowe's choice of professional help over his father's money demonstrates newfound self-awareness. Their weekly calls become exercises in honest communication rather than mutual enabling. The distance creates space for individual growth beyond their shared addictions. True courage isn't fearlessness, but facing fear directly, acknowledging addiction, confronting abusive parents, risking vulnerability. As Lowe tells Lily, "We're terrible at so many things, but the one thing we've always been halfway decent at is being together."